Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In Australia, there's what, 1.7 million investors. And currently, out of that 1.7 million investors, 1.1 million of them run their portfolios at a loss.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Taran Shum, and we're speaking with property strategist, investment coach, author, and former nurse, Duncan Yeltz. Yeltz has come a long way since starting nursing in the 1980s, now boasting a positive cash flow portfolio of over 20 properties. Tune in to hear about his story, starting his investment journey, and some lessons he learnt along the way. Before becoming a coach and mentor, Yeltz had a very dramatically different career.
I have a background in nursing, believe it or not. I left school way back in 1983 and jumped straight into nursing and did my nursing in the old hospital system, very much learning the ins and outs of needing to do everything as it was designed to be done. You couldn't let go off a path. So very much a process in everything that you do.
After getting some good advice and education, Yeltz and his wife were able to get their portfolio off the ground.
It wasn't until really 2002 when we'd done some significant travelling, and we're overseas with my wife, and we came back to Australia and met a mentor and a coach and a financial advisor and mentor and coach as well. And they took us down this whole path of education and explaining to us how to actually invest in property properly. Without trying to be funny about this, myself and my wife had already put it together over 15 years, a portfolio of 5 properties. They weren't necessarily all the right properties, but they were 5 properties. And through the coaching and mentoring, we very quickly went from 5 to 25 properties. And literally, very quickly, I mean in 18 months, we secured another 20 properties into our portfolio.
Yeltz believes his newfound expertise and his background made the transition into helping others invest seamlessly.
It took us from this nursing, coming back from overseas and travelling, and what are we going to do next in our lives? My wife was a hairdresser, and we owned hairdressing salons. And very quickly, we went from this, well, we don't need to work anymore. So our portfolio was very negative to neutral and then to positive cash flow. And as the portfolio grew and it did what we designed it to do with our coaching and mentoring.
For the last 14 years, Yeltz has been able to successfully grow his business and aid in the purchase of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of property investments.
Since 2004, about 900 clients now that Property Wealth Partners and the team around us have coached and mentored and worked with. The numbers as they stand end of last year, about 3,500 property transactions. So those 900 clients have all bought somewhere around that 3, if not more, properties each, if not some more, and about a value of about $650 million worth of properties.
His daily routine revolves as much around his family as it does his clients, and he prioritises his quality of service over his quality of clients.
I don't wake up too early. I do have a 16-year-old son and also a 6-year-old boy and 9-year-old girl, and so there's the school routine. But look, it's really nice to be able to get up and have breakfast with them, take them to school or get them off to school, and also get them home from school in the afternoon to do sports. So my life is very much orientated around family now and being able to work with clients in between those times. Look, really my day is very much about assisting clients. I think on average, I would see maybe half a dozen clients a week. I that's not trying to be funny. I work with clients that want to work with me and that we can help.
Yields grew up in a rather large family in the north side of Sydney.
Grew up in Sydney, on the north side of Sydney. I was very fortunate. My dad was an electrical engineer. Mum was a teacher. And dad and mum put five of us through private schools on the north side of Sydney. So we're very, very fortunate with that scenario. Grew up with the whole idea of every school holidays, we all piled in the car and drove up to Queensland we even did the Nullarbor a couple of times sort of thing. But dad was always taking us on either holidays, either to beaches or to the snow, that sort of thing. And we're pretty fortunate. Upbringing. I don't think we really needed or requested for much. It was always there. Mum and Dad took care of us very well.
Being a middle child, he felt he had a very particular role in the family structure that aided him in his work as he got older.
I was always the kid that was sort of the between the older and the younger, obviously, but it was for some reason just my role within the family was very much the problem solver. And it flowed across into my work. I was always the helper, the supporter. I was not necessarily the funny one, but I was always the one that would, okay, how do we move past this, guys? How do we get past this? It came through to my nursing. It came through to who I am as a person, and a little bit of a side on the nursing from later years was that there's many different types of nursing. And when I did my training, I fell into the area of rehabilitation nursing and geriatric nursing. So very much your patients, your clients were longer-term people. They were in that had some sort of physical or mental or some sort of injury that would mean that for them to return to home, that they were going to need some education, some support and some team around them to actually get them there. It wasn't just I feel sick, in hospital, back out and everything's fine. There's something that's significant and changed. And that rehabilitation nursing really pre-framed and set me up very much for the role I do now as a strategist and handholder for our clients.
He explains the comparison between a team of medical professionals versus property professionals.
My role as that nurse within that team of rehabilitation specialists was to bring in the physio or to bring in the occupational therapist or bring in the hydrotherapist or the psychologist or someone that was going to give them physical therapy or psychological therapy to support them. And it was very much that we on a regular basis, we had these things called case conferences where we'd actually sit down and the whole team, literally 17, 18 people in most cases, would sit down and talk about that client's position, their physical condition, their mental state, and we would then work as a team, a holistic team, and actually, okay, what is our plan for this person? How are we going to help them move forward to get the best results? And the metaphors there.
The notion of working with a holistic team is paramount to Yields.
That's exactly what people need and quite often are looking for in building their own portfolio. Dumb luck can get people so far in property investing. They go out and buy one, maybe even buy two, and they're lucky in a lot of cases. But then 10 years down the track, they go, "Struth, if I'd only bought here or done this or not bought that one, I'd done this," they could have actually done even better. And the idea of having a holistic team, and that's, you know, I believe in having partners around you in supporting any wealth. I rely on my accountant on a monthly, quarterly basis. I rely on my financial advisor, my broker, my legal, my solicitor. I rely on all these people in my team on a regular basis. What should I do here? What should I do there? Now, yes, I've done literally thousands of transactions by default. I still talk to my team and get them to check what I'm doing.
Nursing wasn't the initial path Yields was supposed to go down. but an experience in a hospital gave him the insight to change his field of study.
Much to my parents' dismay, I was actually meant to do medicine. I was lining up to do medicine, and I came down to Sydney. I was actually spent a couple of years up in Bathurst at a boarding school up there in the last couple of years, and Mum and Dad needed me to concentrate. Well, that's why they sent me there. we'll leave it at that. Went up there, came down and did some work experience, and was meant to do some work experience with some doctors at Royal North Shore Hospital, and got there, and after 2 days, it was like, these doctors are boring. They sit down and they do these stupidly long hours. They always look like their eyes are hanging out of their heads. They're drinking coffee like it's going out of fashion, and they're not having any fun. But over there, all the nurses were just fun all the time. They were laughing and having fun. It was like, I want to do what they do. And the rest is history. I came back and no longer did focused on medicine. I focused on nursing and, got into the nursing.
Yield spent over a decade working his way up the hospital system and improving his qualifications.
That was 3 years in the hospital system. So I only ended up with a certificate, and then I did my midwifery another year and geriatrics another year, rehab another year, and then got out of the hospital system. So I did all those qualifications, started working as a registered nurse, and was only in the public system for a couple of years when I was actually headhunted and asked to help set up my first rehab hospital. It was a hospital called Dalcross down the north side of Sydney. And hence my journey came into management and becoming a CEO and a director of nursing and running various private hospitals around Sydney between sort of 90 and 2000.
However, working his way up the ladder in such a serious industry came with intense consequences too.
When you talk about burnout, that was one of those things. I love the nursing and love the patient contact. And it may sound a little bit corny, but just sitting down with a patient and actually helping them get an outcome and for them to actually say thank you was really powerful. And, you know, you live for that every day. When I stepped up and actually became a director of nursing, in charge and then up to a director of nursing, now all of a sudden you had 150 staff, team, that you were now responsible for. And as the in-charge nurse for hospital, the responsibility of anything that went on in that hospital, good and challenging, rested on your shoulders. So once upon a time as a nurse, you'd go to work at 7 and finish at 3 and wouldn't have anything to worry about. You'd go home or start at 2 and finish at 11 or do a night shift, and that was your shift and that was it, in and out. As a director of nursing, I often got there at 6 in the morning and was still there at 10 at night, only to drive home to get a phone call to say there's been a problem at the hospital or there's a death, to turn around and go back in to manage that process. So the hours were extraordinary, and the pressure and the stress was much, much higher.
Unfortunately, at the time, even despite these crazy working hours, Yields wasn't even being rewarded financially.
Some of your listeners may appreciate this. In the lead up to 2000, the year 2000, there was the whole IT movement where people were getting paid. Literally, if you could write an IT program or do some data entry almost, you were earning, not just data entry, computer program, you're earning $100,000, $150,000 without even thinking about it. It was stupid money being thrown at people to do IT. As a director of nursing in charge of 150 team with 60, 70 patients that I was, yes, I was responsible for the lives of, with a massive budget, reporting to the health Department of Health, reporting to all the health funds and keeping compliant with all the rules and regulations in and around all of that, I was getting a whole $70,000 a year. And truly, on an average week, I'd put in 80 to 90 hours.
And yet, he is constantly grateful for his past career and experiences and recognises how they shaped his work today.
So was it financially rewarding? No. Was it fun to set up and a challenge to go and set up a rehabilitation hospital and take it from, you know, being closed or not being approved by the health funds to a fully fledged functioning unit with patients coming in and out every day and a full team working? Yeah, that was awesome. That was amazing, the skill that I had to put together of building a team and actually managing that team and working with that team and getting the best out of that team. Was that amazing? Of course it was. Can you pay for that experience? No. And looking at it, if I hadn't had those experiences, I wouldn't necessarily be able to do what I do now as effectively and passionately as I do.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear all about how Duncan Yield started his property investment journey.
As stories go, buy something in 86, sell it in 89, 3 years later, and more than double your money. That's a pretty good story.
Some of the people who influenced him on his journey.
If you get the right team on board and they support you and you allow them to coach you and work with you and they've got your best interests at heart.
As well as his worst investment moment and what it taught him.
All up in that 4 years from time we secured it to time selling, we lost just over $250,000 in cash.
All that and more coming up. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Yield started his investment journey with his wife in the mid-1980s, making a great return after selling only a few years later.
I met my wife I was still in my nurse's training. I was over at Bankstown Hospital doing my nurses. She was a hairdresser and she was cutting my hair every sort of 4 to 6 weeks. I had some very short, weird flat tops at those times and all sorts of things. So the courting cost me a lot of money because I was in there all the time. But we eventually started going out and we weren't even married, but we ended up buying our first house from her brother who needed to sell because he needed some money. And we bought it on Matella Road in Toongabby in Sydney. And it was a 3-bedroom fibro corrugated iron house on Matella Road. We bought it for $41,000. And that was 1986, and then of course we had the recession we had to have and ongoing good old Paul Keating, and interest rates were at the time were at 7.5%, but that was all normal. We didn't understand any of that, and we ended up selling it to my brother in 1989 for $110,000.
Yields explains how the marketplace allowed for this great return to happen.
Now, the market had totally shifted. Everyone had moved their money out of the share market into the property market. And yes, we had bought it quite cheaply, but we also sold it to my brother for fair and reasonable market value for that, $110,000. So, as stories go, buy something in 86, sell it in 89, 3 years later, and more than double your money. That's a pretty good story. And it was also renting at nearly $200 a week. So that was even better. You try duplicating that in Sydney now. But so that was our first. And then our accountant said, you're earning too much money. You need to go and buy an investment property so you can negative gear it. And the first thing we did was drive down the road and buy one at Bookham Hills. Then we bought another one at in the city. And so the portfolio was put together very, very incorrectly. We bought them all based on negative gearing and needing to support the portfolio.
He reflects on this solely natively geared investment model that was pitched to him initially by his accountant.
And it was a catch cry. I mean, it's a Barbie. It's like in Australia, there's 1.7 million investors. And currently, out of that 1.7 million investors, 1.1 million of them run their portfolios at a loss. Now, if you said there's 1.7 million businesses in Australia and 1.1 million of those businesses run their business at a loss ongoingly, they'd be out of business. because that whole logic of why would you want to go to work and not get paid and actually have to put more money in out of your pocket to support that business and recurring. That's what people do with their property on a week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis. And the amount of money that, you know, that is put into a portfolio to support it, the amount of money we were putting into our portfolio to support it was crazy. It was an illogical, non-sustainable scenario.
So what would happen if, say, for example, unfortunately, you lost your job? How would you be able to manage that situation if with that portfolio negatively geared?
And this is exactly the point. I'm literally speaking to a client this morning who is in his mid-50s and he's got six properties all coming off interest only in the next 12 months and they're all going to P&I. And this guy is already putting in $20,000 in interest only rates on these properties. And he's sitting there going, Duncan, help. And it's like, mate, I don't even know where to start. He's going to have to sell some. Bottom line, he's going to have to sell some to pay down some debt. And he's got this massive debt against his own principal place of residence, which is even for us, for me and Chris, it was very much we used to Skype to our friends. Look at us, we're so clever. We've got five properties and we get the low income rebate off the government. We actually thought we were clever because we're actually getting the government giving us money because we're on low income rebates because our portfolio was so negative. Now, you know, this is how blasé people are about their portfolios sometimes. They don't even realise that if they actually lost their job or didn't have the income coming in, excuse the French, but they'd be up shit creek without a paddle. they're going to have to sell. And quite often a lot of investors don't have a big cash pool of money sitting there that they can survive for 6 and 12 months without getting very stressed financially. And, we would have been, if we'd lost jobs, lost income, we would have been stuffed. And, yes, so many investors are like it. It's part of building a portfolio, and this is one of the very first things that our mentor and finance guys taught us was, we had five properties. We only had an LVR of 40%, so we had a lot of ownership within them. It was all with the one bank. It was how to structure your finance properly, and then that the first seven properties that we bought, from going from 5 to 12, they were all positively geared properties at 10 and 12%, just to get our portfolio back to neutral when we actually released the money. So, that was what it took us to get to 12 properties just to be cash flow neutral. And then after that, we started going positive.
Yield shares his worst investing experience and the lessons he learned from a bad investment.
It's a lesson we learned, but it was actually our fifth property. And I remember sitting down with our accountant, and again, he said, you're earning too much money out of your hairdressing and your nursing jobs. You need to go and buy another property to take effect of the negative gearing. And this time he turned around and said, and by the way, I've got a guy that can talk to you about it. He's a client. He's got some good properties, and you go and talk to him about that. So we did. He ended up buying a one-bedroom unit in the Monument Complex in Oxford Street in the city. And that was in 2000. It was going to be – wasn't off the plan totally because the building was already there. It was an old office building that was being rebuilt, being redecked out. Multiplex was the developer. And bought it for $670,000. Now, one bedroom – anyone just does a Google search right now, one bedroom unit in Oxford Street in the city, $670,000, they're not even worth that now, but let's go down the path. Bought it, secured it, paid $30,000 stamp duty. It completed in 2002, just about the time I was starting to get our coaching and mentoring. We went back to our bank, good old Phil, at Hornsby St. George, and sat down with him. And he goes, you can afford this, not a problem. They went out and valued it. And they valued it at $550,000, not $670,000. And they said, and further to that, we're not actually going to give you an 90% loan that you have got on, you could get. We're only going to give you a 50% loan because it's under 50 squares in size. So, okay, great. Well, we can settle on it. Now, at the time, in hindsight, if that had been one of my clients, I actually would have told them to walk away from the contract and lose a $67,000 deposit. Because here's the rest of the story. So we completed on it. Yes, everything went fine. It was all cross-collateralized with a lot of other properties.
At this point, things only got worse and worse for yields in this Oxford Street, Sydney property.
We had been told by our accountant's mate, developer, that it was going to rent for around $700 a week. It rented for $450 a week. 12 months into it, we'd owned it, and we had a letter from the strata managers, and the strata said we need to draw a special levy on top of the normal strata fees that were being drawn, and each owner needs to put in $20,000. Now, for guys that shave, if you've ever cut yourself shaving, it just doesn't stop bleeding. This property we're already bleeding on. And then to top it off, when this $20,000, it was like we'd cut the jugular vein on the throat. We just were gushing blood. $20,000 because the when Multiplex had redone the building, they hadn't bothered redoing all the lift shafts. So the building was already 30 years old, and so all the lift shafts and lifts needed replacing. Hence, all the owners paid for it instead of Multiplex paying for it. Long story cut short. Now, this was Sydney, don't forget. And anyone that grown up in Sydney and was here when the Olympics was on, Sydney was the winner. Sydney. And we'd gone through this huge upswing in the market, 2001, 2002. We're still on this upswing in the market. Sydney. Everything was perfect in Sydney. People were paying stupid price for a property. It completed. And then my belief, being a Sydney sider, it's going to come back. Yeah, 550, not a problem. We'll keep it. The value's going to come back. The rents are going to go up. It never did. We ended up selling into that 2004. And we sold it for $492,000. All up in that 4 years from time we secured it to time of selling, we lost just over $250,000 in cash. So now, I don't know about you, but for me, and possibly some of your listeners can get the visual on this, can you imagine someone rolled up in a fetal position in the corner, rocking backwards and forwards, sucking their thumb? Yeah, I was a nurse. I was lucky to earn $70,000 a year, even in the best paying job you could get. And I'd literally just lost over $250,000. Now, that's after tax money. That's not pre-tax or anything like that. That's after tax money. $250,000.
He describes all the lessons he learnt from this unfortunate investment.
So, bad story, learnings, massive learning. You know, do you listen to your accountant? No, he doesn't give you real estate advice. He doesn't give you investment advice. He can talk about structuring and tax effectiveness, but he's not the guy to listen to about property. The guy that we listened to, that sold it to us, he was getting paid a $60,000 commission. Now, that's nearly 10% of the value of the property back in that market. 10% commission to convince us to buy the property. That were unbelievably ridiculous. So this is where transparency and integrity really comes into it for me. So, yeah, they won. They got his commission, and the accountant got a little backhander as well for helping us buy the property. The long story cut short out of all of that, we sold the property. We did release some equity out of it. And over the next 6 months, and this was in that period of time when we were buying all this property, in that next period of time, we actually went and bought a number of off-the-plan properties with an option to actually trade the properties when they were settling. Now, we did that in WA. You could do that in WA at the time and still can to an extent. And so we ended up in this situation where we actually bought four investment properties off the plan at $215,000 each, ended up selling them nearly $250,000 each just before the just they settled. So between that and a couple of other deals, in 6 months after losing $250,000, we actually made $250,000 out of doing property correctly and understanding the market and understanding the dynamics of the market and how to actually secure the right property for the right party or your strategy. So huge learning. You know, we could have actually been 500 ahead. We're only 250, like we got back to zero, if that makes sense. Huge learning in all of that. And it's why I get so passionate when I sit down with clients now. You know, last week, clients sitting there going, oh, I've paid this buyer's agency a fee, you know, and they're not doing their job, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to fight them in court, and I'm going to fight them, you know, it doesn't matter how much money it costs. They'd put them into a property that wasn't of good value, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go into the details there, but it's, yeah, if you get the right team on board and they support you and you allow them to coach you and work with you and they've got your best interests at heart, then everyone's going to win out of that.
Join us on a future episode of Property Invest Story, where we continue the conversation with Duncan Yields, learning more about his current portfolio and strategies.
I've got 15 properties, I've got 20 properties, and I'm pulling $150,000 a year positive cash flow in.
The mentors and strategists that aided him in his success.
I met many mentors along the way. My clients are my mentors. My clients are my best coaches. You know, if I'm doing the right thing by them.
As well as the advice and knowledge he would pass on to everyday investors.
Unfortunately, you know, making a buck in this industry comes at a cost. And it's unfortunately, it's generally the client that gets hit with it.
And that's next time on a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you're interested in learning more from Duncan Yields and would like his strategic advice, then register for his free webinar that will show you how to set up your personalized 5-power properties plan to create an astonishing wealth. Register at propertyinvestory.com/power.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.